My name is Garland Robinson. Our lesson today is entitled, To Gain the World is to Lose Your Soul. You know, we live in a materialistic society. Our culture teaches its citizens, including our children, to have more and more, to get more and more. Our philosophy today is to gain the whole world if possible, to make it in life. But you know what Jesus said? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, Jesus said, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Notice there's two major points that need to be considered from what is said. One, those who are striving to gain the world were not really willing to give it up. They will end up losing their soul. And number two, if the soul is lost, nothing can be given in exchange for it. It's lost forever. Friend, there's no salvation in hell. Now think for a moment of the things we insure in this life. We insure everything we own. We insure our health all the way to our property. We take great care in providing for things in this world, and yet we take very little care in providing for the things of the life to come. We would risk our life for our neighbor if his house were on fire, and yet not give a passing thought to invite him to church, to sit down and study the scriptures with him, even though his soul is lost. So when we talk about soul, when the Lord said, What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is he talking about? Well, we're talking about that immortal part of man. It's what makes us who we are. It is that which thinks and reasons. It's our conscience. In John 4:24, we read where Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When God created us, he created within us our spirit, a soul, that which is immortal, made in the image of God, Genesis 1 and verse 26. Well, that soul will live on even when the body dies. It is man's greatest possession that he has. It's worth far more than all the riches of the world. Think about the wars in which we've been involved. Of all the guns and the ammunition, of all the bombs and airplanes, think of the tanks. If you had the money from all of those things, if you had all the money from all the commerce and trade in the world, yet the Lord says, if we gain the whole world and we lose our soul, we've lost it all. It's worth more than any member of our body. Jesus illustrated this point in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 and 30, when he said, If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, but not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is not profitable for thee to lose your soul. He said, It is profitable for thee that one of our members should perish, and not that our whole body should be cast into hell. So our soul, my soul, your soul, is worth far more than all the riches of the world. It's worth far more than even any part of our body. It's worth more than even our body itself. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This body from the outside, that which we see every day, will one day perish. It'll one day go back to the dust from which it came. But our soul will go on. Our soul will not die. It'll go back to God who gave it. And it will have to answer for how we've lived in this life. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But that's only reserved for those who obey the gospel now. So even though our body dies, our life in this world ends, yet our soul will continue on, either in
that place called heaven that God's prepared for the faithful, or that place called hell, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So when we think about our soul, we're thinking it's immortal. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." It is that which man cannot destroy. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." There's nothing man can do to us as regarding our soul, but he can do what he wills in regards to our body. But he can't destroy our soul. Our soul will be in eternity in one of two places. The Lord said in Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." There are two great alternatives, heaven or hell. And those on the right hand, the Bible says, will enjoy life eternal. Those on the left hand will go away into everlasting punishment. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Our soul has many powers. It can think. It can reason. It can love. It can choose and have a purpose. It can obey. It can imagine. What a great, great, wonderful gift God has given us. And yet, it is so precious that we've got to guard it with all that we can. The price paid for its redemption was enormous, and that shows how much God cares for us and loves us. "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, a silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. Our soul is precious in the sight of God. It cannot be replaced. Once it's gone, once it's lost, every person, the Bible says, only has one soul. And if it's gone, it's lost, there's no reclaiming it, no getting it back, no going over. So friend, what value do you place on your soul? If I ask you today, would you say that, "Oh, my soul is priceless"? But do you live as if you really believe that? What do you say by your actions that your soul is worth? Many act as though they care nothing for their soul. Do we show by our actions that we love the world more than God? People handle their money with great care. Why wouldn't we handle our soul the same way? If you're a parent, what's the value of your child's soul? You may say, "Oh, it's worth the years of time and effort and money and educating and training so that they may be successful in life." And if your child gains the whole world, what's that worth? How much time and money are you spending to save the soul of your child? Far too many parents, the vast majority of parents, spend great energies and efforts and money on their material things of this world and neglect the soul. But what do we mean by the world? Well, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." This world is the place in which we live, and the material goods and the dreams and hopes that we have regarding physical or material things will all one day pass. When the Bible here speaks about the lust of the flesh, if you gain all the world has to offer, what then? What have you gained? Solomon said he'd done it, he had tried it, and he said in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 1, "This also is vanity." When the scriptures speak about the lust of the eyes, the wealth, the possessions, the things we see and we desire to have as our own, well, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil. which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When we speak about the pride of life, we think of worldly honor and power and prestige. It likewise can't bring happiness, for it's going to end one day. Solomon, he says, had been there and he'd done that. He had tried it all. And in Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, we read, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." The world is going to pass away. And what would you gain if you gained the world? Think about it. What really have you gained? You've only gained something that can't satisfy. Jesus said Himself in Matthew 4 and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." In Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 6, "Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit." So what have we gained? It's that which is not going to satisfy. We've only gained that which is perishable. It's not going to last. 1 Peter 1:24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Again, what does He say will abide or remain? The Word of God. 1 John 2:17, "The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." If we gain the whole world, we've only gained that which can't satisfy. It's going to perish, going to go by the wayside. It's going to be left behind. We can't take it with us. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, when God said unto the rich fool, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall these things be that thou hast provided?" We read what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out." So if we gain the whole world, what good have we gained? What would be your loss if you gained the world? One, you ain't going to lose the world itself. It's going to perish. It'll be burned up. "For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. Friend, the man who loses his soul in gaining the world loses both his soul and the world. But if we gain the world, what are we going to lose? We're going to lose a lifetime of service as the Lord would have us to serve. We read about the one talent man in Matthew chapter 25, verse 28. "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. In verse 30, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What are we going to lose when we gain the world? We're going to lose the world itself. We're going to lose a whole lifetime of service in the Lord. We're going to lose heaven because it'll be gone. "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Hebrews 9 and verse 27. If we gain the world, we're going to lose our soul, and there's no chance of ever coming back and doing it again or returning or making it right. The lesson will be learned too late. Friend, won't you obey the gospel? If we can assist you in your obedience of believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, then give us a call.